Okay. All right. We'll be lifting all of that up in prayer. Amen. All right. Seeing no other hands, let's set those to the side. Go into our Bible study for tonight. Do you sometimes wish that our minds were, that they had like light switches? You could turn them on, you could turn them off. And as I was thinking about that, and I know I've mentioned this a few times to y'all, my trips to Springfield and the mind, I've got to gird up the loins of my mind because I start running stuff through my mind, and it'd be nice to just flip it off and not have to worry about that. But our minds don't just turn on and off. In fact, they're always on. Contrary to what some people think about some people, the mind is always on, folks, and we can't turn it off. We have to, as we've been looking at the mind here and exploring the mind as Christ gave it to us, we have to focus on how to protect it as we started into it last week. And the only way to do that, since we can't turn it off, is to close the door to the wrong influences that are coming in. The mind's always on, it's always running, and if we just run through life with no filters, no thinking, no discretion, everything comes flooding in, okay? Which is why some forms of meditation that are out there that suggest you just calm yourself and open your mind and just let everything flow. That's wrong, folks. How is that wrong? I just quoted part of the verse. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let it open and let anything come in. So we have to close the door to wrong influences coming in. This is what Paul is warning Timothy about in this verse that we're going to look at. Don't let your mind be contaminated, is what he's telling Timothy. Let's look at verse 16 of 1 Timothy 4. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, we've looked at our complacent mind, a careless mind, and those will lead to a contaminated mind. So Paul warns Timothy, keep the brain door closed to the wrong influences. And doing that is going to do three things for us. First of all, you will keep your vessel clean if you do that. Do you want a clean vessel? Of course, the Sunday school answer is yes. Do we live like we want a clean vessel? Well, tonight, as David prayed earlier, give us something to do. We're going to have a choice of what we're going to do. We can live as like we want a clean vessel if we choose to close the doors of our minds. God commands us to take the pure water of life to this world. We are to take that to the world. We have the truth, and we're supposed to take it to the world. The truth of God's holiness, okay? The pure water of life. The water needs to flow through a clean conduit, doesn't it? If it's going to stay pure. If the water, if the message, if the holiness of God is not going to be tainted, it has to go through a clean conduit. So let me ask you, what kind of vessel are you? Paul tells Timothy, take heed to yourself. What kind of a vessel are we? There's two types of vessels that are mentioned in Romans chapter 9 and verse 28. One of them is a vessel of honor. That's you might say a water pipe. The other is a vessel of dishonor. That might be a sewer pipe, if you will. Now, I was actually going to bring in both tonight, okay? Yeah, I've had some sewer issues, okay? In fact, right now, if any of you want to come and clean, but no, I'm just kidding about that. But I have this 4-inch PVC pipe in my basement that's used when I'm snaking out my sewer drains. And it's not pretty, folks. And then also show you a clean copper pipe that we would use for our water. One of them's clean, one of them's not. Now, which one would you prefer to get your water from, folks? I mean, think about the visual image, perhaps, that may be coming to your mind. Vessels of honor are used for one purpose. Vessels of dishonor are used for another one. That 4-inch PVC pipe that I have, there's pretty much not much else I'm going to use it for the rest of my life. Just that one thing, okay? God requires us to have a clean conduit, a clean hose, if you will. Have you ever taken a drink out of a garden hose in the summertime? Go ahead, raise your hand.
I have.
Yes. And depending on what that hose is made out of, how long it's been in the sun, what has maybe crawled up inside the hose as it was laying there, the water can taste really, really bad compared to water from a clean glass. Folks, there's nothing wrong with the water. It's coming from the same water source. So why does it taste so bad? Just something about that old hose that changes the taste of the water. Now, there's nothing wrong with the truth that God has given us. It's pure, it's clean, and it's exactly what the world needs. So what's the problem? Here it is. God has chosen us to be the conduit, the pipe, the hose. And just like that garden hose, if we're not clean, our lives will change the message. People won't be as receptive to the truth we're offering if it's coming through an old dirty garden hose. And you know what they say. Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites, because I saw them doing and I hear them saying. And the truth that if it comes out of you is ineffective because your life is actually changing that message. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now let's just stop there for a minute. If you are departing tomorrow afternoon sometime, my wife and I are going to depart to go and see my daughter, okay? Now what do you suppose that's going to look like? You're going to see me going away and farther away, and farther away, and farther away, all right? Someone's told me this, many people have told me this, older folks, kids are gone, their favorite lights at Christmas time are the tail lights going off in the distance. They are departing, all right? Now, here's the problem, and here's why I'm stopping here, because I want us to understand that idea, depart from iniquity. God says, do it. Depart from iniquity. But here's generally what our depart looks. If this is iniquity right here, and then we just stop. But many times what we do is we're actually pointed this direction, seeing how close we can get to it and not be wrong. Totally contrary to what God's word says. He says, depart from iniquity. Get away from it. Make no provision for the flesh to be tempted. Let's read on. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So many illustrations are coming to my mind right now. I'm going to share a couple with you. They're unfiltered, okay? So just bear with me here. I just made my wife nervous. As we look at this, the verse 20, this great house, there's vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. As we think about that word depart, okay, and get away from it, that old smelly PVC pipe that I used to clean out my sewers, where do you suppose I keep that? Not underneath my wife's dining room table. It doesn't belong there. It's out of those living areas, okay? And that's the idea behind verse 21, where it says, we will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. But we have to purge ourselves from these. I have a friend who, back when I was farming, okay, their clothes, when they came in the back door, would come off and stay there on the back porch. Now, those things go in the barn, along with the smell that's on them. They need to purge their house from those things, because they don't belong there. And there are things in this world that do not belong in our lives. God says to depart from them, purge them from us, get them out, get them away. Don't even let the smell of them be on you. Let me paraphrase these verses. If a man gets rid of the sin in his life, he'll be prepared for greater use. When it comes to our mind, folks, Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, that's what he does. And it all comes down to our minds. Keeping our thoughts right will keep our vessel clean. It will also, secondly, keep your values centered, all right? Paul first addresses the conduit. And now he addresses the content of what's going through there. And there's this content of doctrine, folks. We must know doctrine. So many people find it boring, but we must know it. It's not only sin that can ruin our thinking, but also false teaching, false truth. Do you know any Christians that listen to false teachers? Do you listen to false teachers? Is it possible? I mean, think about it. Is it really possible for Christians to be swayed by false teachers? Ever hear of Joel Osteen and others? Yes, it is. How is that possible? Doctrine. They didn't know the truth of God's word. So knowing God's word, keeping our vessels clean, and having God's word there will help us keep our values centered where they should be. Folks, if our minds are constantly being fed the word of God, we'll be able then to identify false teachers and reject what they're saying. Solomon said it this way, Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. Now, why the big concern about this anyways? Because I did listen to Joel one time, and I was coming unglued. Every other sentence he was saying was totally contrary to Scripture. But he was very interesting to listen to if you just don't listen to him with a discretion. With God's discretion, you just listen, and man, it sounds good. He's got a nice smile, doesn't he? But why such a big concern about this? Folks, are we just looking for the boogeyman here? We got to look around every corner and underneath every rock in case there might be something bad under there, and then we got to run from it. Perhaps we're being maybe just a little conspiratorial here. Well, here's why this is such a big deal. Because of the concern of deception. Jeremiah 17:9, many of you know it. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. It is so deceitful, so desperately wicked. We can't trust our heart. And we can listen to someone and, man, we feel good and they make me feel good. Feel good, feel good. That's the heart, not the brain, not the mind that God gave us. And when we go on something based on feelings, we're opening up our minds for wrong. God says we have to use our minds. We can't trust ourselves to think right. We need the Word of God for that. That's why God gave it to us. Now, in the television industry, the movie industry, they have this ratings system. I don't know the name of the board who decides what movies are going to be rated G, PG, PG-13, R, whatever the case is. But they have movies submitted to them. Apparently, they must watch the movies, and they have some criteria, some filtering mechanism that they run them through to establish what the rating is going to be. Now, many times we as Christians will watch movies based on their ratings. Why not run a movie through God's filter to see if we should watch it or not? Oh, but it's history. That's not part of God's filter. God says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And so we can't trust ourselves to think right. We need the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Word of God. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is by these exceeding great and precious promises, it is by God's word that we are able to be partakers of the divine nature. And it all comes down to this, folks. When God's word is valuable, our values will be right. It always will happen that way. Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I've not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Keeping our brain doors closed will keep our vessel clean. Our values centered, and it will keep your voice clear. Our voice is kept clear by having a pure mind. When you're thinking purely, you never have to worry about speaking wrong. Think about that for a moment. When you're thinking purely, you never have to think about speaking wrong. If you're thinking impurely about your spouse and everything that they do wrong, and even stuff that you think they're doing wrong, you think they're doing wrong, and you're not thinking about things that are lovely and things that are true and things that are of good report, it's going to come out in your speech. The old computer saying, garbage in, garbage out, is also true of the mind. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by the fruit. All right. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That's a good verse to remember as we go into this election season, folks. Listen to how the candidate speaks, what they speak about, how they speak about other people, because it's giving you a picture of their heart. When our voice is clear, that's when we have a pleased master. It was said of Jesus in John 7, never a man spake like this. Why? Because 1 John 3 says, in him is no sin. And it was reflected in his speech. Folks, all of us have said things that we regret. And we may be wondered, why did I say that? I guess I'll just move into the forest. I'll never see anyone, never talk to anyone, and then I won't have a problem with this. Or I'll just put duct tape across my mouth. That will solve it. No, it won't. The duct tape will keep us from saying words, but it won't solve the problem, because saying words isn't the problem. Way before we spoke those words, we thought it. When we're thinking right, the words come out right. In the first part of 1 Timothy 4, Paul is very, very specific why it's important that we keep our brain door closed. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I believe we're in the latter times, folks. This is for us right now. That's why it's so important that we keep the door to our brain closed and we don't just let everything in through the TV, through music, through talk shows, through our friends, our good Christian-like friends even. Folks, with 10,000 thoughts or more going through our brain every day, it's very easy for the wrong things to slip in. Can we stop it all from slipping in? I don't think so. But I think we could take huge strides tonight by just being aware that we need to close up our minds and making that choice to close our minds. All right, let's stop there and go to our prayer time, folks.